Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Join me, Chanel Danton, on the search for truth and guidance through conversations and content around the cosmic moments that can bring about exponential growth. You are invited to discover tools and techniques to manage challenges, master transitions, manifest abundance, and live your best life. The time for cosmic moments is now. Welcome.
Today I'm with Carissa Cuellar, a holistic healer, CBD or cannabis educator, and also a yogi sharing the joy of yoga with children and adults alike. Carissa comes from a nursing background and is going to tell us a little bit more about why she veered more into the cannabis industry from that medical realm.
Yeah, it was a really tough decision because for so many years I had just put so much of my energy into becoming a nurse. So it wasn't something that I took lightly, but I noticed when I was in nursing school, like, there was always something missing.
What do you mean by something missing in the medical industry?
Just very much that I could only care for the person a certain amount. Like, I noticed that when I would kind of nurse them back to health, it wouldn't be long before I would see them back again with similar symptoms, or if those symptoms had manifested to something bigger. Mm-hmm. And I kind of noticed later that it just because I wasn't able to take care of the whole person, I was just able to take care of like a very small fraction of like their health. I wasn't able to take care of like their mind or their spirit, which I think is a huge part of your overall well-being. I think that's a lot of the times what we overlook. Is like we just go straight for like your body, like your physical body, and then we forget how important it is to nurture all the other aspects of ourselves.
You've told me a really interesting story about a couple that came into the hospital.
Yeah.
And that kind of really changed the trajectory of
it. It was insane. There was a woman who was admitted and she was with her husband, and her husband told me that they were at that hospital a year prior. What had happened was he fell off a ladder and she came in with heart pain. So they were both admitted to the same hospital at the same time. Very different symptoms, but they were given the same medication regimen because they had found out that they were having like high blood pressure, just things that are typical in older adults that can be fixed naturally through nutrition, yoga, breathing, things like that. So given the same medication regimen, but then a year later, they come back and she comes back with heart pain again. And he's telling me, you know, like what they gave us, I didn't want to take the medication, but my wife wanted to. And, you know, she's progressively been getting sicker. And me, on the other hand, like I've been getting better. And he's telling me like how he's been more mindful of his day-to-day being. And it planted a seed because I was like, you know, you're right. Like there are so many times where I take, you know, prescriptions for something like a urinary tract infection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll put me on something like ciprofloxacin, which kills everything, all the good and bad bacteria. So what do you know? The UTI is cleared up and now I have the flu or something worse. Like so many times in my life, I've gotten really, really sick because my immune system wasn't what it should be at, what it is normally at. Especially working with kids too. It was just always coming home. I was always sick, just always sick. And then finally, you know, kind of stumbled into yoga, and that just makes you more mindful all around. So that just changed everything.
I mean, how did the CBD industry fit into this? Like, why did you feel that CBD was a good place to be as far as healing modalities?
Well, truly, I started in it recreationally. Originally, it was just a good time with my friends, and then as I continued to use it, I noticed a huge change in the way I was thinking. It was almost like I had a bigger perspective on things. And what really stood out to me is while I was in nursing school, they drug tested us, so I didn't smoke during school. But there was one time my brother and I had some friends over and we smoked. And So I had studied, and then we smoked, and then I went to bed right afterwards. I was like, you know, I already studied. That's it. Like, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. And then the next morning, I woke up a little bit early and flipped through my notes once, and then I went to school, and that was the best I ever did on an exam. And so for me, that was really telling. And it wasn't until years later when I started using more recreationally that I realized, oh my gosh, I have horrible crippling anxiety that I didn't even notice. And it wasn't until that I started smoking that I realized that I could feel myself calm down and I could feel those thoughts and like the front of my head just like dissipate. And I could actually like sort through my thoughts. Mm. And it was the first time that I could self-regulate like that. And it brought me to tears. One time I was trying to share with a friend, like, what it was doing for me. At the time, like, we were both really into volunteering at our church. So it was really difficult to be open and honest about something that was helping me that had this, like, taboo attached to it. Mm-hmm. But it literally brought me to tears because I was like, this is the first time in my life that I've felt like I'm in control of my thoughts. And that, from there, like, my life changed. You know, once you have control, like self-regulation, I feel like that opens the door for everything in your life.
So where's the boundary then between using it as a medication? So you use it to help with the anxiety, for instance, to when it becomes a crutch or almost addictive past.
Yeah, and I think there is a fine line. It's important to note that we can't be addicted to cannabis. It has no effects on our kidneys, livers, nothing. So unlike alcohol or other substances, like cannabis has no effect on our important organs, which is awesome. But I do think that there's a fine line. Like, people do become dependent on these things at a certain point to do function through life. But truly, I think it's like when you need it to sleep or to eat, I think that's when you should reevaluate.
And what about people that take cannabis and then just become really lazy and don't want to do anything? Like, if you're using it for anxiety, but you're still you're still functioning and you're still able to actually process and maybe even more clearly process what you're doing.
Yeah.
How do people know how to use it?
I think it's important to know what you're consuming as well. California and Colorado and all the states that have legalized cannabis have been great about having compliant products on our shelves. So they've gone through three categories of testing for things like pesticides and solvents and just all the things that you don't want to smoke. So I think that's really important. People are obviously still going to get that couch lock when they smoke, but I feel like it's less likely when you have these things that are regulated of synthetics and you're getting that pure flower. But also strains and like vehicles of consumption. So maybe if you smoke a joint, you get that couch lock. Like, you obviously don't want to do that before work, but maybe an edible, you know, something that's like low dose, something like 10 milligrams, and just take, you know, 10, 20 milligrams before work, and really knowing your dose is important too. Mm. Yeah, I think that's really important.
So if someone was taking it for anxiety, say, what strand would they go for then? Someone that was trying to clarify their thinking, how would they know which strand is best?
It's a lot of trial and error right now, which is hard because the industry is brand new. So, I mean, there are still people coming out with all these new grand ideas on like how to prescribe. Mm-hmm. But it's just important to know yourself, know how you respond to cannabis. But I would always start small.
It's so amazing being in California where it's legal.
I know. How was your first experience going into a legal dispensary?
Overwhelming, because there's just so much on offer and different functions. Like, this is for calming the muscles, and this, and like, they had creams and all these potions. But it made me realize like how much cannabis can be used for different things. Mm-hmm. And also how people are becoming more educated of what they're consuming. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. But it also made me kind of wonder, with all these choices, how do people know what, like, where does the medical industry step in with this cannabis industry? Is there alignment in this country?
You know, it's still new. That's what's so unfortunate. It's like we're talking about a brand new business. Like, I often compare the cannabis industry to Apple because of It's like quick and sudden launch. Yeah, right now there are some organizations out there that do a lot of studies with cannabis and on patients and everything, but right now it's self-regulated, like by person, because right now it's like it's really a gray area between like customer and patient. So yeah,
I mean, are there trials that show that cannabis has been effective in depression and anxiety relief?
Yeah, they're all over the internet, but I mean, those are the types of studies that they're doing right now. It's just like the effects that cannabis can have on things like PTSD or depression, anxiety, and also like medical ailments too, like glaucoma or any kind of like inflammation in your body.
Mm-hmm. How so? How does it help with that?
So we have something fancy. Hmm. It's called the endocannabinoid system, or ECS, as some people abbreviate it. But some people say it was discovered in the 1960s and 70s. That's like when it first emerged. But I feel like the first studies really started happening in like the early 1990s. So if you like really look at that, that's not a lot of time. Mm-hmm. So every day I'm always reading new articles. So it's just always important to stay updated on this research. But your ECS system can have an effect on pain, like lessening pain, appetite, sensation, inflammation, thermoregulation, so like straight up regulating your body temperature. So for me personally, like I really enjoy using cannabis before my menstrual cycle because I get like hot flashes and stuff, and a lot of people with menopause will often use it, and that helps them regulate their body temperature. Or eye ocular pressure for people who have glaucoma. Our ECS system also affects our mood and energy, metabolism, stress response, muscle control, and our motivation and reward system.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So it does so much, but I mean, like, we're still learning new things every day.
Okay, but because it's such a new thing, and you know, people are self-medicating, my real concern is the addiction. Like, people are addicted, right? Or no? Are you?
I truly feel like it's mind over matter, but every person is different. I mean, when I don't smoke, I don't feel anything. Like, I don't have any withdrawal symptoms. Like, I have just as much mental clarity, probably a little bit less because I'm a little bit more anxious when I don't smoke. But it's nice that, you know, when I do step into that, I have other tools that I can use to kind of bring me back. But yeah, that's what's nice is that with cannabis, like, there are no withdrawal symptoms. Like, you're never gonna, you know, be admitted to a hospital for it or anything. But it's, you know, I feel like when you need it to eat, to sleep, to do anything in your day-to-day life that you should be able to do sober, I think that's when you really should reevaluate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so in your holistic healing, you use different tools and techniques, just going back to those tools and techniques mm-hmm. that you were saying on the side, you know, cannabis helps with X amount, and you work in this educational department, but it's also really important to bring in these other tools. What can you tell me a bit more about these other tools that you use
yeah.
as holistic health?
I mean, cannabis is amazing, and it has a time and a place, and I think that's also really important too, being able to recognize that. But outside of that, like, I love yoga and like asana practice, like that has helped so much in just like redirecting stagnant energy in my body. Amongst that, just like having a really strong support system too. Mm-hmm. And being able to self-regulate, like knowing.
Okay, well, what does self-regulate actually mean? You know, it's a concept that we throw around, and especially mm-hmm. in this healing world, mm-hmm. we just say self-regulate. Can we explain what
yeah, totally. I think
actually
we should.
Means?
Mm-hmm. For me, it's being able to put myself in check, really, and look at the bigger picture without the story that I'm creating attached to this scenario. I'm trying to think of an example. I mean, if ever I have a problem with family or in my personal relationships, it is really just like taking a breath, taking a step back, and looking at the big picture, like, why is this person upset, and why am I upset? And like really coming together to fix that problem together versus like, I'm just mad at this person, like really fixing the problem and not being mad at the person I think that's huge in self-regulation, just being able to do that in itself. It's a game changer.
And that would refer to an emotional intelligence concept,
mm-hmm.
right? That with self-regulation is going, this is where I'm standing right now. And if I look out at what's happening around me and I use compassion towards myself and towards others.
Truth.
We then we become more emotionally intelligent to enable us to self-regulate. Is that right?
I think so. I feel that very much. I think when we use those tools that we were just talking about, like yoga, therapy, cannabis, support system, I think those tools give us the ability to achieve that.
In Palm Springs, beautiful Carissa has brought me to this amazing hotel where we're having a self-care weekend where she's she's lathering me in all her oils. Mm-hmm. And
we have bath bombs and face masks. Self-care.
Yeah.
Really. And I noticed it too. Like, I was going so hard, so fast. And, like, I burnt out. Like, my back was hurting. I had very, very short fuse for everything. And I got here and I just started slowing down and I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't have yelled at that person. You know, it's just things that you kind of have perspective. And now that I notice it, it's like I'm seeing how important it is to reset and just be grateful for things that you have. I heard the best acronym for sex and it's Sacred Energy Exchange. And I know it's kind of a little floppy at the end, but wow. Like, I really, that resonated so much. Because when you're with a good partner who, you know, and that you can nurture those aspects of yourself on your own and with that partner, wow. Just it's a huge difference.
Sacred Energy Exchange.
How perfect is that?
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so a show staple is a favorite quote. Do you have a favorite quote?
I do. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And that was from Eleanor Roosevelt. It's a really popular quote.
I like that.
You allow that. You tell people how they'll treat you. And I love that reminder.
Do you have any book recommendations?
I love Rachel Hollis. She is a public speaker, but she's just devoted to helping people get out of their own way. And I love that. So she has a few books. There's one, it's called Girl, Wash Your Face. And then her other book is called Girl, Wash Your Face.
Girl, Wash Your Face.
Yeah. And then her second one is called Girl, Stop Apologizing. There's also You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness by Jen Sincero. That was like my Bible for a while.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed today's episode, take a screenshot and add it to your Instagram story, tagging me at Chanel Denton. If you would like to join our 21-day Mindshift program, head over to cosmicmoments.com or find the link in the show notes. The 21-day program is designed to teach you tools and techniques to tap into your subconscious mind and reprogram outdated thought patterns. You will be guided through live sessions with myself as well as in pre-recorded episodes. You will also have access to a community of like-minded people and an opportunity to ask questions, share insights, grow, heal, and learn with us. You can join this community and this program for just $21. It is something that I really urge you to take advantage of. Just I'm so excited to share these tools and techniques that are really shifting minds around the world.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.